welcome. It's St. Patrick's Day. It comes but once a year. We welcome you here to the Radio Ranch. Well, it's not really what you'd call decked out in green for St. Patty's Day. No, it's covered in white snow today. We do welcome you here, though, and we say welcome to St. Patty's Day. Got a poem for you right out of the traditions of Glastonbury. Let's start it off, won't we? It's called The Legend of Glastonbury. Who hath not heard of Avalon? 'Twas talked of much and long agone. The wonders of the holy thorn, the which soon after Christ was born, here a-planted were by Arimathea, this Joseph that come over sea, and planted Christianity. That's when a landed vust, zig pleasant was in God's own trust. A-stuck his staff into the ground, and over his shoulder looking round, whatever made his lot befall, he cried aloud, "Now, weary all." The staff had budded, and it grew, and a Christmas bloom, behold, a drew. And still it blooms at Christmas bright, but best, the zah at dork midnight. And you might ask, what does a legend of Glastonbury have to do with St. Patrick's Day? Well, stay tuned. We'll talk about that this March 17th, St. Patty's Day, 2016. We'll be right back. Thought it was just fitting to have a little Irish ditty here, the beginning of the program. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And it is it's not a green Radio Ranch today, but a cold, snowy white one, about 4 inches of snow today. Hey, winter's going out like a lion, and that's fine with us here. That's what the good Lord wants to give us. Hey, we'll take it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Well, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity you give us, this time, Lord. I thank you for this short hour on the radio, Lord. What a privilege it is. I pray you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words as we talk about, Lord, as we read from your scriptures and talk about things from long ago, Lord, and things of today. Lord, I thank you. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came, born of a virgin, to fulfill the prophecies, Lord, and to redeem your people Israel, to redeem us from the grave, from the pit, from the hand of all who hate us, Lord, to redeem us from our own sins, to do what, Lord, although that law was perfect, to do what it couldn't do because we weren't perfect, and that is to bring us back into relationship with you, Lord, and we thank you for that. Help us to do that very thing, Lord. Help us to seek you. Help us to open the eyes of the remnant, Lord, those that that don't see you as they should. Father, be with us tonight. Guide and direct me, Lord, and be with the remnant that tunes in, Father, and let all that we think, say, and do be to your glory. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And again, it is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2016. And again, hope you heard the poem. The poem is called The Legend of Glastonbury. It's written in the Somerset dialect of about 1870 A.D. From oral traditions prevalent in Glastonbury, and comes from the book The Traditions of Glastonbury that we carry here, presented by E. Raymond Capt. And I encourage you, if you don't have it, it's a great book to have. Without taking all the thunder from the book, I guess, it fills in from, again, oral tradition and stories that have been handed down for the last 2,000 years. As it says on the front, the biblical missing years of Christ answered. And it puts together a pretty good argument that Christ visited the British Isles during the time that he was, becoming in his earlier years. How about that? After his childhood and before he began his ministry. And so... It's a great book. And so you may say, well, what has that got to do with St. Patrick's Day? Well, guess who the first abbot of Glastonbury was? I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. St. Patrick. At about, their guess is about 460 A.D. Now, we've talked a lot. I won't say we've talked a lot, but there's a lot of rumor about St. Patrick. Just thought I'd share a couple of things here with you about St. Patrick. Patrick the Saint, and no, we're not talking about Catholics, okay? So I think everybody should be pretty well aware of that. But Patrick was basically, his name was Patricius, and he was in England long ago, a Roman Brit, part of the dispersion, okay? And the Irish warriors basically came and captured him and brought him back to Ireland. And there in Northern Ireland, and he ended up being he was a slave. He was a young man, they say, in his teens when this happened. And Patrick goes back to Ireland, and he basically has to, he's the pig keeper. He has to keep the pigs for his master. And Well, I've got a couple things here I'll share with you, and it kind of leads into this legend, if you will, story, history of St. Patrick, because early missionaries to Britain this is 400 years after Christ. Again, they have gone to the dispersion, and they have left a legacy of Christianity that this young Patricius was exposed to, and so now he finds himself in a time that he has very little, only himself to rely on. But in his later writings, he says that here's a quote from his writings later. He says, "I would pray constantly during the daylight hours," he later recalled. "The love of God and the fear of Him surrounded me more and more, and faith grew, and the Spirit roused, so that in one day I would say as many as 100 prayers, and at night only slightly less." And this was through 6 years of slavery that this Patricius, who had been captured, a Roman Brit, and taken to Northern Ireland, and is now, not unlike the story of Joseph, but is now tending his master's pigs. Well, as the story goes, he had a vision or heard a voice that he would be able to return. And was able to do that, was able to return, and he escaped. He was able to finally escape. In his autobiographical book, Story, Confession, it has a huge gap after his escape from Ireland, but it picks up again after a few years. He's back in Britain with his family. And there he received a call, his call. No, it wasn't a telephone call. It was a call from God to evangelize Ireland. Not unlike the Apostle Paul's vision at Troas, where the Macedonian man pleaded, "Help us, help me." And several hundred years earlier, the gospel was taken to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, to the dispersion. And so, that's what Patrick did. He went to Ireland, and you know the one of the biggest legends, I guess, about St. Patrick is that he, and I was looking here, I had it in my notes here, I don't know if I get to it or not, but how he, you know, the story goes that he drove the snakes from Ireland. Well, when they go back and check, to my knowledge, they say that there's never been the coral snake, the rattlesnake, the rat snake, the corn snake. There's never been those type of reptiles in Ireland. But yet, Patrick is known for driving the snakes out of Ireland. Well, he came and preached Christianity. And so we'll leave it up to you to figure out, to decide what type of snakes Patrick drove out of Ireland. And if you've been around this ministry for a while, you've heard our pastor preach about them. Anyway, Patrick went around, built churches, converted the people basically to Christianity. And St. Patrick's Day, a public holiday in the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland and many places in Canada, continue to remember that. One thing that you don't hear a lot about it, but according to legend, St. Patrick used the three-leafed shamrock. The shamrock, which is, you know, one of the symbols of Ireland, and especially of St. Patrick's Day. But he used that to explain the Holy Trinity to the Irish pagans, to the Celts, to the Druids that he was converting. And, you know, he was not unlike the apostles and disciples of old that were preaching and teaching the gospel. Anyway, St. Patrick's Day. Well, today it's kind of gotten a little away from that, you might say, in the wearing of the green, the dyeing of rivers green, the drinking of green beer. No green beer here at the Radio Ranch tonight. We did make it down to Fort Collins on Saturday for the St. Patrick's Day parade, and it was an enjoyable time. You know, several thousand people gathered there, and a peaceful time, and it was encouraging. It was, and anyway, well, so that is St. Patrick's Day. Now, if you're interested in this, if this type part of our history is interesting to you, we carry some books that the one I mentioned, The Traditions of Glastonbury, that talks about. You know, in the Bible, we only hear of Joseph of Arimathea very little. You know, it was the uncle of Jesus. It was the man who was in a position after the death of Jesus Christ to be able to go to Pilate to get an audience with the leader of the ruler of the land, and to ask for the body of Jesus Christ and to have it granted to him. And so. You know, but we don't hear a lot. We don't have a lot of writings, a lot of information about this Joseph of Arimathea. But there are other writings, historical writings. Not saying they're scripture, but historical writings, because these people were actual figures. They weren't make believe. Remember, and so the book, The Traditions of Glastonbury, does an excellent job in pointing those out in referencing, showing where these come from. So it's if you like that part of history, hey, you still got a little bit. It's going to be a little cool the rest of this spring. It's not going to be all outdoor time. But the book, The Traditions of Glastonbury, we carry it. It's by presented by E. Raymond Capp. It's a great book. It's a book you need to have as a history book. We've got it. It's only $10. We'd be glad to send it to you. Another one that I think ties right in with that is another book by Bible archaeologist E. Raymond Capp, called Stonehenge and Druidism. And, you know, you don't want to necessarily believe everything you hear about Stonehenge from the world today, and everything you hear about the Druids from the world today. And so I would encourage you, again, you know, E. Raymond Capp was a fantastic biblical archaeologist, certainly understood the Anglo-Israel message, and proved time and time again how history proves the Anglo-Israel message, proves who the ancient Israelites of the Bible were and who they are and where they went and where their travels took them. And so Stonehenge and Druidism, another small book, $8 we asked for it, and an excellent book full of truths. Now, there's one more book. I'm a little hesitant to even mention it because I'm out of it right now. and I'm trying to find where I can get some more. And the book is called The Drama of the Lost Disciples by George F. Jowett. And it's from Covenant Books, and of course they're in London. And I haven't been able to get in touch with them. There was a distributor here in the States, and he has passed away, and I'm trying to get back in contact with his family to get some more of these books. But it's called The Drama of the Lost Disciples. I'd send you one to borrow. I've got one here that it's highlighted and just about to come apart. But it too goes through and shows more true history, the early history of the disciples as Christianity was growing and it was moving. And if you have your Bibles tonight, turn over to James. That's over toward the end of the New Testament, two-thirds of the way through it. And James 1:1, and we read, and we'll have the phone lines open tonight. Maybe not everybody's out at the Irish pubs drinking already. 307-745-5913 if you want to call in. But we go to James 1, and we start in the very first verse, James 1:1. James, a bondservant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. And so we see right here in this writing that who is this writing to? Well, we've been reading, if you've been reading in your Bible reading plan, you've been reading back in Genesis and in Exodus, and you're reading of, and you get on into through Exodus, and you read about somebody called Abraham and his son Isaac and his son Jacob, and then his name is changed to Israel, and then he has 12 sons, and they become the 12 tribes of Israel. And you read about that all through the Old Testament. And then here you're in the New Testament, and James is writing, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is a Christian. Here is a man whose writings we can believe. And he is writing to the 12 tribes, the same 12 tribes from the Old Testament. Now, brethren, if you have friends that are New Testament-only Christians, and I presented this to one, I met one that, well, he said the church he goes to is pretty much a New Testament church, and I asked him about that. And I said, well, what about James? You know, that James is right. Isn't he writing to the same people that are in the Old Testament? Isn't the story the same for those people? And it is. And it is. It is so much that as he wrote to them, of course the gospel went to them, and now over 2,000 years later today, our nation celebrates St. Patrick's Day with parades this past Saturday and some celebrations that lasted 3 or 4 days. Now certainly not celebrations honoring Jesus Christ. It's moved away from that. But the tradition of this first abbot, this first preacher, you would say today would be the proper terminology, missionary of Glastonbury, where Christianity grew and flourished, was St. Patrick. And over 2,000 years later, because James wrote the greetings to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad, see, it was just a few hundred years after this that St. Patrick, had his time, about 460 A.D. So, you know, it's only about 400 years after this time here that we read about in James. That's only since been here since the time of the pilgrims. And so, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a huge stretch of time. But now, 1,600 years later, we still remember at least part of it. And I just wanted to take a little time tonight to kind of give you a glimpse of, or a reminder, I guess I should say, of St. Patrick. That he was a Christian, not a Catholic. He was a Christian. And he continued on in the mode of James here. He continued on in the ways of the Apostle Paul and Peter in taking the gospel to the dispersion, to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcised. And because they were, as James 1 says, they were of the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad. See, they understood that. They understood that God had divorced his wife and sent away her sister too, and scattered them among all the other nations. He understood that. And that's who he wrote to. That's who he wrote to. So we have those books, at least, again, if you don't have the history books by E. Raymond Capp, Stonehenge and Druidism, and then also the Traditions of Glastonbury, I encourage you to write us and get them. They're an easy read, but they become a reference book. And I've got one that's dog-eared and highlighted, and I've made copies of many pictures and drawings, and it's just a fantastic book. It really is. I won't read any more poetry to you, like The Isle of Avalon. Oh, you know what? I might. There's one other one in here. Let me see if I can find that, and then we'll again, the phone lines are open, but I wanted to get and read a little bit of scripture. And where is it here? Here it is. William Blake, poet and mystic of the 18th century, penned his famous Glastonbury hymn with its haunting and challenging question, never answered in the affirmative or negative. And so we'll do a quick piece of Blake poetry, not cowboy poetry. We've done that a time or two here as well. But this was from William Blake, and he lived 1757 to 1827. And his belief was that Jesus Christ came to England. And he speaks of England's green and pleasant land. We'll read this, and then we'll go back to some scripture. And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among those dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold, bring me my arrows of desire, bring me my spear, O clouds unfold, bring me my chariot of fire. I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till I have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land. That's William Blake. Well, phone lines are open. We'll have another little Irish ditty here. It is St. Patrick's Day. We can take a minute to do that, and we'll be back right after this. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. Some familiar songs to me. I couldn't tell you the name of it, but a couple of the girls, Irish Dance, and these are some of the songs they use there. It's about as Irish as you can get, and I like it. No Irish beer drinking songs, nope. It's but it's Chris and Michelle McLaughlin, and I like it. It's good. It's it has our beat to it. It has our rhythm. It has. I think it is music that resonates. It has the frequency that resonates among those 12 tribes that have been scattered abroad. I like it. I hope you didn't mind it at least. And phone lines are ringing. We'll go over and go to the phone lines. Good evening. Welcome to Thursday night.
Hey, Richard, it's Willis. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, good evening, Willis. We are
I'm doing
well. How are you?
Very good, very good. I see you left the pub a little early tonight.
Well, as our most important team member, Todd, that puts us up on the internet and all that, I texted him earlier and I told him, I said, hey, we'll be live tonight playing Irish tunes and drinking green beer. And I said, well, maybe after the program, but... He said, yeah, as they say in the old country, aye, laddie. No pub tonight, I'm afraid, here on the radio. How about you, Willis?
no pub tonight. but, hey, the reason I called, I just thought I would add a fourth book that I'm pretty sure you guys still carry.
Sure.
It would be excellent to go along with those three, and that is the Tender Twig.
The Tender, absolutely. It is. I didn't even think about that one. And that is a great book. I'm just looking to see if I've got one back in here, and I don't think I do. But that is a great book. That's the one that talks about Tia Teffy. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. And, excellent book. That's a little more of a historical type of, like a historical fiction book. I learned... I read things in that book, and then I went and looked them up in the Bible, and it was like, yeah, that certainly makes sense. Excellent, excellent book. I'm glad you called and recommended that. Have you read that recently?
It's been several years.
Yeah, yeah, I have too. But it is. It's a great bit of. I would just have to say more than likely how it was.
Anyway, I just thought I'd call in and mention that and join the show. I'm glad to hear you live.
All right, Willis. Thank you. God bless, brother.
Same to you, brother.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and, goodbye.
All right. Excellent, excellent comment there, Brother Willis. It is another good, it again is a bit more of a historical fiction type of book taken from writings and stories of the time, but it puts you in that time frame of the early dispersions, the times, not the times of James that we read, but the times of several hundred years earlier, when the tribes were being dispersed, if I remember right, and where they dispersed. And we have several other things that kind of tie into that. We have a map that's called the Westward Trek map, and it's like 11 by 17. It's about the size of a placemat. Used to go in a restaurant, they'd put a placemat down for you to have your silverware and your food was served on, your plate. And it's about that size, and it shows the names that these 12 tribes that were dispersed. It shows many of the names that they became known by and the places that they went, be it Celt or Chaldee, or Druid or Norse or whatever it was. Great map. We'd be glad to roll it up in a tube or fold it up and send it to you if you'd like. If you don't have it, we ask for a dollar or two. It's a great learning tool. It really is. And then we have some big ones that would go on your wall. Now they're a few more dollars. They definitely have to go in a mailing tube, but we do have some wall charts as well, and they're great for homeschoolers. We've used the little charts as placemats. You can use them for, put them around your school, the homeschool table, and you can show your children where they come from. It's as simple as that. And then you can read, as you read about it, they're good ways to put what we read in the Bible without pictures, but with accurate maps and names of what happened to our people. And with that, I want to go back and take a look in Deuteronomy. If you've got your Bible reading plan, we're reading through Deuteronomy this week, and started in it first of the week, and we're in Deuteronomy Let's see here. Where are we at? Actually, we've been in it a couple weeks. Deuteronomy 30 and 31. And there's just a couple things out of Deuteronomy 30 that I thought they kind of came to mind, and with today's current events. And, you know, and I've purposely stayed away from the presidential race that's going on. And you look at the news, and we have the good news in the gospel. You get so little good news from the media, from the magazines. My gosh, the checkout line at the local grocery store, I just hesitate to even take the children there. It's all but embarrassing to even walk through that. Because of the media that is in, they put so much before our eyes today, and it's all, of course, manipulation, and it's all done for a reason, and that is to keep us in sin. Now, as you're reading through Deuteronomy, you see that the people of God being in sin is nothing new, and God continually gives opportunity to return to Him. And in Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 29, something popped out that our pastor taught on quite a bit, and especially in the Gods series. And you know, we're trying to, I hate to even put it out, but we're trying to get that God series all typed up and proofed, and we'd like to get that in book form, because that was so informative, and the pastor wanted to do that. He wanted to get that in book form. So I would ask you to pray for us. Pray for us here that we're able to get Pastor Series, The Gods, and that's a small G Gods, into book form. And here's one thing out of Deuteronomy 29 that comes right out of that. And it's here, it starts in verse 26. They went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they have not known and whom He, meaning God, had not allotted to them. And that word allotted means portioned. And in the Gods series, Pastor fleshes this out. He goes into this into great detail, into that there are gods. There are many small g gods. There's one big God, but there's one real God. But there are many small g gods, and this is part of it. But it was our God that allotted or apportioned them to the other peoples. But He tells His people not to serve them. And we've read all through that throughout Deuteronomy. Anyway, then in Deuteronomy 30, God puts here, you know, it's not the plan of salvation from Christ, but it's the foreshadowing of it. It's the leading up to it. It's the saying, this is what, if you will do this, it'll sure go better. Let's read it. Deuteronomy 30. We'll start with verse 1. And again, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. But we're reading in Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. So it shall be, when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey Him. And that obey means listen to His voice. Okay? That's what the word there, obey, means. In Deuteronomy 30, chapter 2, and you obey Him. You listen to His voice. With all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons, then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Now you got to remember, this is back in Deuteronomy 31. Moses is still alive. They haven't even gone into the promised land, much less been dispersed, as we read in James 1:1. But even then, God is saying, and reading up to this, he's given them, blessings. Back in Deuteronomy 28, these are the blessings. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. But then he also gives, there in Deuteronomy 28, from verse 15 on, the consequences of disobedience. And you know, if you have a friend out there, brethren, that maybe just doesn't get what's happening today, if you can get them, you probably won't talk them into sitting down and reading all of Deuteronomy 28. They would probably think it'd take a month to read through it, when it takes about 6 minutes. But try to do that. Try to get them to read, or if you can sit down with them and read to them Deuteronomy 28, starting in verse 15. And when you read through it, and see if it doesn't resonate, see if it doesn't start opening their eyes to what is happening today. A people who you do not know shall eat up the produce of the ground and all your labors. Wow, a people we don't know, a different people? You will have sons and daughters, but they won't be yours. Oh, you mean they'll go into the military and be killed and slaughtered and blown up? Yeah. Well, there's the phone line ringing. Let's get over there to it. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Good evening. Could you give me the name of that book again? The last one, was it Lewis called in about?
Yeah.
I didn't catch the name.
It was The Tender Twig.
Tender Twig.
And it's a. Is this our sister in Texas?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I didn't go to any pubs tonight. If I drink one beer, that's all I can drink. I'll get drunk. So. I'm too short to drink beer. So.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I was listening, and I didn't catch the name of that book.
Yeah, it's The Tender Twig. It's a great read. It is. I think you'd enjoy it, Irene. You really would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Sure. Good night. And the other books, The Traditions of Glastonbury and Stonehenge and Druidism. And, you know, the things that Patrick and Joseph of Arimathea and James and the apostles and the disciples, the things that they preached, the things that they taught, the things that they put out, were right here that we read in Deuteronomy 30. And you return to the Lord your God and obey him. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where he scattered you. It really is as simple as that. And that's the answer today. When you return, when we return. When we return. And you know, there's another, I think another piece that kind of jumps out here at me that I'll bump up a little bit here. It's still in Deuteronomy 30, but it's up in verse, we'll pick it up in verse 9. Then the Lord your God, now this is, again, if you return to him, if you return to him, okay? But you have to return to him. It's as simple as that. And so, verse 8, and you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly. So you want to be prospered abundantly? Tells you how, right here. Tells you what to do. I just read it to you. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. How about that? If. There's that biggest little word in the Bible. See, so many people today, they want to prosper. and the prosperity gospel has gone out. Oh, God wants to prosper you. You just pray to him. He does want to prosper you. But that word there is if you obey the Lord your God. And what does that obey mean? Listen to his voice. If you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. If. And I might add to that, not to add to the word, but I think it applies, it's also when. It's not just, you know, if the law of gravity ends. If pigs fly. No, it's not that at all. It's when. And then verse 11, I've got it highlighted in my Bible. It says, verse 11 of Deuteronomy 30, it says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." And that out of reach references down to meaning far off. It's not far off. It's not out of reach. It's as simple as that. Let's go to another song. Be right back. Music of the 12 tribes dispersed abroad. How about that? I think that's a pretty close that would work. And so anyway, Deuteronomy 30. You know, it's we've just left Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. Deuteronomy 30. It's a promise of restoration if, and he tells us this commandment is not too difficult, nor is it out of reach. It's not far off. It's not far off. It's doable to return to him. And again, that is the answer today. And you know, we read a little bit further, and oh, that this would be preached from the pulpits on Sunday mornings here in this once Christian land. Starting in verse 15, it says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days. I'm working on a little scriptural insight that I want to bring on Sunday morning, and it's then what do we do? It's found in the beginning of Luke. John the Baptist is on the scene and he's baptizing, and they come up and say, well, so what do we do? And he tells them, and it's very similar to this: choose life. And how do you do it? By loving the Lord your God. Didn't Christ tell us that was the greatest commandment of all? Loving the Lord your God. Here also, by obeying his voice. We have his voice. We have his word. By holding fast to him. Boy, that sounds like abiding in Christ to me. Abiding in him and having him abide in us. That's what it sounds like to me. But see, we have that. And you know, God continues to set that before us. Life and prosperity on one hand, death and adversity on the other. And it's our choice. And the prosperity, that's good. The adversity, well, that's evil. It's as simple as that. And each and every one of us, well, we get to make this choice every day. And the more you choose that death and adversity, the easier it gets to choose it. But you know, the more you choose that life and prosperity, the more you listen to the truth that's found in this word. Like when Jesus Christ said, I came to bring life and life abundantly. So anytime you hear any type of talk that is not about life and life abundant, recognize it for what it is. It's not of Christ. It's that death and adversity. But what is God, he doesn't want us to be like the dogs that are out there or the cattle that are just creatures of instinct, that just have that instinct, okay? That's not what we're made for. We're above that. He gives us a choice. We have that choice, that free will. And what does he want us to choose? He told us. We read it. Choose life. In order that you may live. See, that's the good news. That commandment, like we read, is not too difficult, nor is it out of reach. It's right there. It's just a matter of choice. It really is. It really is. Well, I'll leave you with that tonight, and I'll say the same thing. Choose life in order that you may live. That commandment is not too difficult, and it's not out of reach for you or for me. Well, thank you for joining us on this St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2016. Our address, if you want to write for those books, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Of course, that's USA for the shortwave listeners and online listeners that are listening worldwide. And the books we talked about tonight, Stonehenge and Druidism, and then also the Traditions of Glastonbury, and as our caller from Illinois called in, Brother Willis, the Tender Twig is also a great book from that fits right in with this Bible story. So we're again trying to provide you with the tools that'll make your Christian walk a little better. Well, thanks again for joining us. And we invite you to come back Friday night. We'll have a live program Friday night. And then make sure you set your alarm. Get up early Saturday morning and join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast. And one more song for you here from the green, green isles of Ireland.